for CBA Mobile.
For CBA and for QMV Brian, how are you doing tonight?
Man, you're going to have to give me that one again. KB4 CPA Mobile here. Name's David, and I'm mobile here in Tylersville.
Here, QNV, Brian. It's Quebec November Victor. I'm also leaving Tylersville as a flag football game.
I just got through watching my grandson playing some touch football, and I'm headed to the house.
At Dolly Cooper Park?
I sure was. How about yourself?
Grandson's on the red team tonight. One of the coach's assistants, the young fellow with a cap on, that's my son-in-law.
Well, I don't know the coach or the assistant. I think I've met. I talked to the coach tonight, but I don't think I've even met the assistant. But that's cool. And I think my grandson wants to play tackle this fall, so we'll see.
My grandson is number 80. He's a skinny little quarterback, and he's mad at his dad because his dad thankfully said, no, you're not going to play tackle football.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of other things they can do. He can do. I think he's tried baseball and basketball, soccer, so, you know, so he's trying his hand at football, and who knows, we were a bunch of musicians when I was growing up, so, you know, sports really wasn't, I played a little league baseball, but that was about it. I enjoyed it. But wound up being a musician like my dad, mom, and dad.
I'm a musician too, and I haven't touched it since 1970. I was a trombone player, so you're a classical musician.
Yep. Well, I was in the marching band. I started band in fifth grade, played clarinet all the way through high school. I was a drum major for 2 years at Eastside. And then my senior year, they wouldn't let me take band and chorus, which I've been doing and the previous years. And I said, you're going to have to pick. And so I chose chorus over band. And of course, voice is my major instrument anyway.
I was a serious classical musician. I went to Boston Conservatory of Music for a couple of years back in the 60s and decided that I wasn't sure if I wanted to do that for a while. So my instructor recommended I go in the military, audition for one of their bands, and spend more time doing it and see if it's really what I wanted to do. And at the end of the 3 years in the Army, the answer is no.
I imagine playing trombone, you know, you've got to be at the top of your game and know somebody to get in a band or an orchestra. And, you know, I just wasn't interested in that. And I wound up being a minister of music in church, so I led worship for 40 years.
Chance to go to the Baltimore Symphony. It's one of the minor leagues of the orchestra. No audition necessarily, just my instructor's recommendation. But I was 19 years old, and I knew I was not material enough to do it, because you got to get a full-time job and play in the symphony, because as my instructor said, it ain't going to pay enough to live on, kid.
Yeah, well, the same thing in church music. I mean, if you're in it for the money, you might as well forget it. Because most of the time I work two jobs. I work the part-time job and that full-time job. And sometimes it was the other way around. I worked on cars as well. And so sometimes I was part-time at the church and full-time working cars. And, you know, it just depended on the church and what they could pay.
Yeah, it was a big fish in a very small pond. And when I decided I didn't want to continue any great church career, I dropped it all together. I was either wanted to be at least at the level I was before, which at that time I had to practice 2 hours a day to stay at one level. And I just didn't want to be one of those guys that was good and then went downhill. So I dropped it entirely, and some years ago I gave the instrument back, I gave it to the music minister, and he's at the Governor's School of the Arts. So I figured at least somebody would appreciate the value and the quality of the instrument.
So you know, what kind of horn was it? What kind of trombone?
188H. It has what you call an F trigger. So instead of going all the way out the sixth position, I could hit a thumb trigger and hit the same note. So I got it in 1964 from Manny's in New York City. And it was a good instrument. Looks brand new. The case was brand new because it had a Naugahyde zip cover on it. So somebody got a good instrument, and hopefully if we get to somebody at the School of Music, then they understand the value of it.
For several of the guys had cons in high school, but they weren't that nice with the trigger. I've seen those, and that's a nice one. So I still have my clarinet. It's not as special. I mean, it's not plastic, but it's not a expensive clarinet by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I had it rebuilt, repadded a good many years back. I think it cost the same amount to have that done as it did what my dad paid for back in the 60s when I started.
I had a friend of mine in the Army over in Europe who played all the reeds in an instrument except double reed, like an oboe or bassoon. And he ended up, I haven't kept in touch with him, but I've watched him on Google, or at least his resume. He's up in Greensboro, North Carolina. He's a teacher up there. And he went around to some of the off-Broadway organizations in New York City and Cape Cod. So he made a career out of it, but he was very good. I mean, everything from piccolo, flute, down to all the reeds except the double.
CBA Mobile. Well, I am downtown. Are you headed toward Greenville or away from Greenville?
It's going to be 35-85 interchange, so my signal is going to be pretty crummy for about another minute.
I still have you on the input frequency. I like to switch over and just see. Of course, you know, when we first started talking, of course, you were full quieting on the input, so I could hear you better on that than I could on the repeater. But anyway, But anyway, how long you been in ham radio?
Off and on for quite a while. I was remember in the past the signal goes bad. I was first licensed when I was in high school. I think it was 62, 63, and back when you had the offices couldn't have VFO operation, you had to go with personal transmitters, and I never really got on the air, so couldn't renew back then. There was 1 year and you upgraded or you're out. And so I dropped off, and then like 1983, 84, I was in Ontario, DC, and I was carpooling with some people with their hands, so I got back into it.
Buddy of mine that was in amateur radio, and he taught me to get my ticket. I didn't get mine until 1982, and that was back way back when you had to start with your novice, and you had to do 5 minutes of work, 5 words a minute on code, and all that. But I made it through that, but then I got on 2 meters and forgot the code, and I was on 2 meters for years until I could afford a HF rig.
I worked outside of D.C. in Northern Virginia, and your normal commute was an hour and a half each way, unless it looked like it was going to rain, in which case you had another half an hour, and if it actually did rain, you had some time on top of that. So the D.C. just had dozens of repeaters around there, and they had one in particular that was cross band, and I never realized that until one time I was talking with a guy, and he asked me what band I was on, and I was kind of taken back, and I said, 2 meters, aren't you? He goes, no, I'm on 220.
This is a cross band radio. It's a ICOM 2730, 2 meter 440, and I didn't realize. I mean, I heard a guy on I forget the frequency. It was on 440, and so I went back to him, and he said he was on 2 meters, but I was talking to him on 440, so I don't know what was going on there. And but anyway, it might have been a crossband repeater, or it might have been my radio doing something weird. But I've talked to maybe one or two people on 440, and the rest of the time I don't even hear anything on 440. As far as the ham bands, anyway. But I only have that when I'm mobile. I don't have that at the house. I'm mostly on HF at the house.
Get back into it. I think as N0TR says, I'm 57 and dyslexic. And the problem I have, in addition to hearing, is inherited some kind of a tremor thing in my hands. So I can't read my own writing, almost never. So if I'm trying to copy CW, I've started to learn to do it using a computer. You know, I've opened up a Word document and key it up and type it in there. But the problem I have is transmitted. I need to go get one of those devices that allows me to keyboard it. I think I'll be fine copying code, but I get an extra bit every now and then when I'm trying to use electronic here. So I haven't been on code that much anymore, but that's when I was in Florida for 10 years, that's really all I did. It was nice in Florida because it's Southwest Florida, the Fort Myers area, it's flat. So you go a long distance to the ground wave, let alone skipping.
Well, that's been around the code translator thing with the keyboard for a good while. I saw it back in the guy had it at his house back in the late 80s, I think. Bill, I remember he was just right down the street from where I lived, maybe a mile or two, and he had that. And that was fascinating to me back, especially back then. And I'm using, at the house, I've got a 7300 ICOM and a 135-foot Carolina Wyndham is the antenna I'm using.
So you have an older, much older, TS-440S. I got that in, shortly after I got to Florida. I think I got in there in December of 87, and shortly after that, I purchased it used from somebody else and then had a little power supply, or actually a big, heavy power supply that went with it. So I ended up putting a small mast, and homeowners associations raise a lot of trouble unless you're ham, so I've got an exception to have a little radio, and I had it just above the roof, but it was a Cushcraft A3, and A3S, I guess, is the actual name, but or model. But like I said, with its flat, I mean, it was, you could cut the square, and I had the rotator on it, so I just spin it around to wherever I wanted to go, and it did fine.
Good. I had a Cushcraft, I believe, 2 meter beam back in the day when I had a tower, but that was about 3 houses ago. So now I'm in a HOA, so I can't put up a tower. All my antenna's in the trees in the backyard, so you can't see it. And I have a little 2 meter J pole on the back of the house that you can't see from the road, so it's more or less hidden. And so I don't have to worry about it, but that's all I've got. I can't put up a tower, no beams or anything like that.
My antenna and rotator when I transferred up to Greenville from Florida. And what I'm using now is just a friend of mine made a multi-band antenna that I've got looped around in the attic of my house. And it does okay. I mean, it's in all directions.
I drew on the antenna in the attic. I heard about that and running. You know, whatever works. Heck, you can make a. I found out you can make a 2 meter antenna out of the satellite dish. So you know, and you can put one of those on your house. They don't care about the satellite dish. They just don't want a ham radio antenna up there. Now, you know, go figure. You can even have a TV antenna for air TV, but can't ham antenna.
I think we just ended the length of communication here. It's something weird is coming over on my radio. But anyway, good talk to you again, Dave. Again, it's N4QNV and Brian. And I think they got a couple playoff games coming up, or at least one. So I might see you at the playoff game with your grandkids. We'll see what happens. And again, it's Brian, and for Quebec, November Victor, it's a mouthful. And good chat with you. I'll talk to you later.
I hope you can hear me. I'm in a bad spot on the Rutherford Road, down in a hole, and I got Paris Mountain between me and the repeater. Anyway, N4QNV, KB4CBA, and good to talk with you, and enjoyed the ride home. I'm just about to the house. Got a couple more miles. But anyway, 73s, and enjoy the Keso. Have a good night. KB4CPA Mobile.
Alright, Dave, I'm just pulling into my garage now, so you have a good night too. And N4QNZ Mobile, and I'll be clear.